Sandeep, he has done his education from IIT Mumbai. After that, in 2003, he joined the temple full-time, after which he has been doing a variety of services. Prominently, he is one of the long-standing servants of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. Also, he has been doing preaching in IIT, Somaya, and many other colleges. And presently also, he is one of the ashram teachers for the present Brahmachari trainees. So we'd like to welcome His Holiness Vrachanda Prabhu, who is very famous for his beautiful narrations of Bhagavad Katha. So we'd like to welcome him to our Sunday feast by loudly chanting three times, Haribo! Haribo! Haribo!
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Krishna. So, first of all, we would like to welcome all the devotees and all the guests who have come for this Sunday feast program. So, before we begin, we would like to sing one beautiful bhajan by Sri Govindadas Kaviraji. I think everyone has the song books? Yeah. So we will sing this bhajan and then we will proceed further.
Hare Krishna.
Mind, just worship the lotus feet of the son of Nanda, which makes one fearless. Having obtained this rare birth, crossing over this ocean of worldly existence through the ocean of saintly persons. Both in day and at night, I remain sleepless, suffering the pains of heat and cold, the wind and the rain. For a fraction of flickering happiness, I have uselessly served wicked and miserly men. What assurance of real happiness is there in all of one's wealth, youthfulness, sons, family members? This life is tottering like a drop of water on a lotus petal. Therefore, you should always serve and worship the divine feet of Lord Hari. It is the desire and great longing of Govinda Das to engage himself in the nine processes of bhakti, namely hearing the glories of Lord Hari, chanting those glories, constantly remembering him, offering him prayers, serving the Lord's lotus feet, serving the Supreme Lord as a servant, worshipping him with flowers and incense and so forth, serving him as a friend, and completely offering the Lord one's very self. So it's a beautiful prayer to the mind by Sri Govindadas Kaviraj. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya. Hare Krishna. So we would like to once again welcome all the devotees and the guests for our regular Sunday feast program, which was wonderfully established by Srila Prabhupada, so that all the devotees can come together on the weekend and hear and speak and glorify the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. Otherwise, we are all working throughout the week, being trampled by the material nature, the pangs of the material miseries. And this Sunday program which Srila Prabhupada established was his desire, so that the devotees can come together, talk about Krishna, serve Krishna together, glorify Krishna together. So that is Srila Prabhupada's great mercy upon us, this wonderful program which Srila Prabhupada gave. And actually speaking, truly speaking, as we know from the scriptures and Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, that this is actually the goal of the life, to speak about Krishna, to glorify Krishna, to hear his holy names, to chant his holy names. That is the goal of human form of life. Because the tendency to glorify someone, to worship someone, to serve someone, to adore someone is there in each one of us. We would like, everyone wants to worship someone, everyone wants to hear about some great personalities, what is happening in their private life, what is. That's why we have so many newspapers, so many magazines talking about so many big, big politicians, big, big sports stars, cricket stars, film stars. magazines fill about their personal lives, about their social lives, and about all their things which they are doing. So that tendency is natural in a human being, in a spirit soul, to hear about the glories of the Supreme Lord or someone. So therefore, but we understand that it is Krishna or the Supreme Lord, Sri Vishnu, Sri Ram, they are the actual true object who are worth glorifying. Because when we glorify the Supreme Lord, Sri Hari, then our hearts get purified. They act like a nectar shower after the hot sun. Then the first cooling nectarian rain comes. It's like a cooling shower. So these Hari Katha, the glories of the Supreme Lord, they are like the nectar shower. When you are in a desert, panged by the thirst, and when someone gives you a pot of nectar, cool water from the, like a matka, that quenches your thirst, the unlimited supply of that thirst. The Harikatha is like that. It quenches our soul. It pleases the heart. And that is what all the devotees from their time of eternity, they have been glorifying. Ananta Dev, who has been the constant companion of the Supreme Lord, with his ananta mouths, unlimited mouths, from unlimited time, have been glorifying the Supreme Lord. That is the glory of the Supreme Lord, Sri Hari. Brahmaji, in one of his beautiful prayers in Brahma Vimohan Leela, anyway, Shamcharan Prabhu, one of the devotees, was telling me this is the Adhik Mas. That's the extra month as per the Vedic calendar, which is added in this 12 months which we have. So every 3 years we have this Adhik month or an extra month, because 10 days as per the every year they are added. So this year, this present month which is going on as per the Vedic calendar is the Adhik Mas or Mal Mas, as it is sometimes said. So it is very, very auspicious to perform devotional service, to talk about Krishna here and glorify and do all spiritual activities. Because when all the 12 months were there, they were having different demigods or gods as in charge. So when this third month was, this Adhik Mas was added, so there was that personality, the Adhik Mas was very like, that there is no god presiding me or there is no controller. And the Lord himself said that you will be known by my name. Therefore, we call this name as Purushottam Mas. So, jiska koi nahi uska Bhagawan. So, Krishna is the shelter of one who has known this. The Supreme Lord gave shelter to this month and became auspicious. And Krishna personally said that anyone who performs devotional service in this month will get thousands of times more benefit. So it's like a mega bonanza sale for us. That whenever, whatever devotional service, devotional activities we do, we will get a multitude of thousands of times of benefit. Anyway, why I remember this? Because I was talking about Brahmaji. So one of the prescribed things one should do is talk about Brahma Vimohan Leela. And like we have in Kartik months, we speak about Dhamodar Leela. So in this, one should speak about Brahma Vimohan Leela. Of course, we'll just speak briefly and then continue further on. Of course, one of the prayers why this point came here, we were glorifying Ananta Dev, Ananta time. With his ananta mouth for ananta time, for the eternity he has been glorifying. So in Brahmaji, in one of his most beautiful prayers, he says that let all the scientists or the intelligentsia of this world can count even the atoms or the particles of sand or dust in the entire creation. Or let they count all the stars or luminaries in the spiritual or in the material abode, but nobody can count. Still they will not be able to fathom all the qualities which Krishna, Supreme Lord, Sri Hari, Sri Vishnu possess. So that is the qualities or the leelas which are nitya, eternal. Every moment Krishna is performing some activity or the other. It is nitya namayaman. Every moment there is Krishna's pastimes happening. Therefore devotees relish, because we have been hearing about Ram Leela, Krishna Leela so many times. Sadhus over the sages, over the years, millions of years when Ram Leela took place, they have been talking about Sri Ram, how Ram, the whole Ram Leela. They have been talking about the Ram Katha, but still not satiate, and still they are deriving great, great pleasure in glorifying Lord Sri Ram. That is the power of the glories or the qualities or the pastimes of Sri Krishna. I remember Ramayana when it was first telecasted. Which year was that? Some years back when I was, that famous Ramayana serial which was telecast. And I remember we were traveled from Amritsar, where I would stay, from to Delhi. And on the way, the Ludhiana station would come. And from 9 to 10, the train would stop, halt over there, so that everyone could see the Ramayana serial. That was the thousands of years, millions of years, those leelas took place. But still, people would relish. There would be like a curfew in the cities. 9 to 10, there will be no traffic. Everyone would be like going through, because everyone would be apt walking and watching Ramayana. And that's how actually TV was introduced. And unfortunately, now we see, Gauranga usually gives that example, that Ravana, how he came? He came as a sadhu, dressed like a sadhu, came, kidnapped Sita, and then showed his ten-headed form. Similarly, Gauranga gives this example, that television came like that, like hidden like form of Ramayana and some nice information serials, some simple Doordarshan channel with some like knowledge about Krishi and some different like informational news channel or something, and few channels, and 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, everything is over. And now it is manifesting as millions of, hundreds of channels and different of hoods. They are like the different heads of Ravana. That is what is happening. And this is unfortunate situation. And of course, another thing, yeah, this is the land where Lord Ram, the land of Dharma, and people are bringing out serials or films like Ravana and glorifying Ravana and comes. So that is the unfortunate situation. Of course, anyway, not to divert from Brahmaji's prayers. The unlimited glories are there of the Supreme Lord. Krishna is glorified in all the Vedic literatures, in all the Puranas, Itihasas, all the Lord's glories are described. So that is the beauty and power. And this is one of the reasons, as Kunti Maharani mentions in the first canto, various reasons why the Lord Krishna appears. And one of the reasons she mentions the Lord appears is to create subject matter for the devotees to discuss about, to talk about. And the devotees, as Krishna explains in the Gita, take pleasure in talking amongst themselves about Harikatha, about talking about Lord Ram, about Krishna. That is the great pleasure which devotees derive. When they come together, they talk about Krishna, they glorify Krishna, glorify Lord Vishnu, Sri Ram. That is the pleasure. So Krishna personally comes, Lord Ram personally comes, to create subject matter. They are like the trailers of the spiritual world. Like we have a movie, we have a trailers. So these leelas, these pastimes, these are like the trailers to the spiritual world. Krishna gives, wow, you have this, this is the trailer to the spiritual world where Krishna is being worshipped now. You're all welcome to Goloka, where Krishna is being playing with his cowherd friends and enjoying the life in Brajbhumi, where everyone is serving. Mother Yashoda is there, Nanda Maharaj is there, all loving Krishna, the gopis are there. These wonderful leelas which Krishna performs us to attract our hearts, so that we have some subject matter to talk about, to discuss about. If Ramchi comes and just, he could have killed Ravana just like that. There was no need for that, all the monkey soldiers to come and make that beautiful bridge. And this elaborate pastimes were done so that we could talk about them, discuss about them. Otherwise, there is no subject matter worth discussing in this world other than the subject matters of the Supreme Lord. I said, my grandfather would always tell, Hari katha hi katha, baki sab vyatha. That is the only worth subject matter actually, talking about, that is about the glories of the Supreme Lord. That is what will purify us. So therefore it is important that we come together as devotees, we glorify the Supreme Lord, talk about his wonderful qualities, how he protects the devotees, how he annihilates the demons. That is what his leelas are. And these are the trailers, like the movies, and there's various songs. The Hare Krishna Mahamantra, as I think one Srila Prabhupada's disciple was mentioning, this like the theme song of the spiritual world. Every movie they have a theme song. So this Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Hey Radharani, Hey Krishna, please engage me in your service. This is a theme song of the spiritual world. That, Oh Radharani, Oh Krishna, I want to engage in your transcendental service and pastimes. So that is a theme song. And we have like this concept of theme restaurants, theme different things and themes. So Srila Prabhupada's temples, they are like the theme spiritual worlds. They are the replicas of the spiritual world where service to Radha Krishna, Sri Gaur Nithai, is given. All the living entities are given this wonderful opportunity to perform that same leelas which are happening there. And we have the like facility to sing the beautiful theme song, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, which is given. And as we were talking about, that these hearing about these kasa actually purify the sadhakas, those who are practicing sadhakas and are like a solace. And even the paramhamsas, they are attracted to these wonderful pastimes. They enjoy, they relish. We know how Shukadeva Goswami, when he spoke, of course, before he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam, he was born as soon as he was in the womb of his mother for many, many years, not coming out, fearing the dangers of this material world. And as soon as he came out, he started to walk away, run away. And his father, Vyasadev, he's wondering, his just son is born and he's just running away, grown, he's running behind. And there are some people reciting Srimad Bhagavatam and that beautiful verse which Uddhavji speaks to Viduraji, Aho Bakiyam Stanakal Kutam, that how the Supreme Lord, he gives mercy to Putana who came to kill Krishna. That is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. That is the nature of the Supreme Lord. That anyone who comes to the Supreme Lord gets purified. Anyone who comes in touch with the Supreme Lord is immensely purified. There is always benefit in going close to Krishna. Is whether somebody goes in envy, somebody goes with love, somebody goes with material desires, somebody goes with all desires, whatever desires are mukti kami, bhakti kami, siddhi kami, whatever kami one is. If one goes and worships the Supreme Lord, there is his benefit only. There is no loss in approaching Krishna. That is the nature of the Supreme Lord. And that's what when Shukadeva Goswami heard that verse, that Putana, who came actually to kill Krishna, that was her only intention. She just came with her poisoned breasts to kill Krishna, to take his life, thinking him as an ordinary child. And Krishna gave her the position of the mother, her mother in the spiritual world, is unfathomable. So Shukadeva Goswami, when he heard his, he was like completely taken apart and he just was relishing Srimad Bhagavatam, and then he was glorifying Krishna and wonderful narrations of Srimad Bhagavatam. He spoke to Parikshit Maharaj. So that is the glory of the Supreme Lord, his surrendering to the Supreme Lord in any way, coming in touch. Therefore, these sound vibrations of Srimad Bhagavatam, these wonderful narrations of Srimad Bhagavatam are very, very purifying. And that is, even everyone is attracted to these wonderful stories. There is suspense in these stories, there is drama, there are beautiful songs in this Srimad Bhagavatam. The most beautiful poetry is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. So everything which we are attracted to many fiction stories which people write. But here there are real stories which Shukadeva Goswami, Krishna himself has given in this beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam to capture our hearts, to attract our hearts. So that is the whole idea of the Srimad Bhagavatam, to capture our hearts, to attract our hearts, so that we can achieve ultimately the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. So with this background, today we would like to discuss about one of the stories of one great devotee. Because talking about the devotee or the pastimes of devotee is non-different by talking about the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains in his purports that there is no difference between talking about Krishna or talking about his pure devotees. Pure devotees, they always carry Krishna in their heart. Whatever they do as per the will of the Supreme Lord. So when we talk about the lives of these great souls, exalted personalities mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, these Vaishnavas, these pure devotees of the Lord, that gives us a greater understanding of how actually we can practice the science of Krishna consciousness, this the knowledge of the Gita and the Bhagavat in our lives. Because these great souls, the Mahajans, they, by their example, how they react to different situations in life, give us a guideline and how we can act when faced with similar situations. And Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, gives extreme examples at times to show us that if in this situation somebody can worship Krishna, somebody can take shelter of Krishna, why not we? So one such story of a wonderful small young boy is given in Srimad Bhagavatam in the fourth canto of Sri Dhruv Maharaj. It is a wonderful story of Sri Dhruv Maharaj. These are not some pastimes of an ordinary child which a grandmother tells her small children when going to bed. These are transcendental pastimes because the leelas of the devotees are associated with the Supreme Lord. And they act like a medicine which purifies us without our knowledge. We may not know the science how the medicine works, but just by taking the medicine as prescribed by the doctor, following the diet, taking the medicine as prescribed by the doctor, we get cured. We all have that experience. So similarly, just by hearing these transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Lord and His devotees, we are getting purified, we are getting nourished, whether we understand it or not. That is the power. And Srila Prabhupada's purport give us guidelines in these wonderful stories, how these teachings or these examples act in our lives and how we can respond. One time Srila Prabhupada with his, one of his Brajabasi friends, when he was writing his transcendental purports and he was writing with a Parker pen, Srila Prabhupada was telling that it is apt that I am writing with a Parker pen because these purports can take us Parker, they can take us afloat, the material nescience. So no other shelter we have other than the Leelas of the Supreme Lord and His devotees, as we were hearing yesterday, celebrating the 100th year of the Titanic disaster, the ship that even God cannot sink on its own maiden voyage. So there is no other shelter if you have to cross the universe, the ocean. No, the ship which was made with most expertise of scientific advancement, the best of the people, the designers, the best of the materials, everything was the best, the most expensive cruise liner, but it failed in its first maiden voyage. So therefore, these narrations come as a hope, and these Prabhupada's purport, a real Parker, the real Titanic, who can give us, take across the ocean of this nescience. So this narration comes in the fourth canto, in the eighth chapter, where Shukadeva Goswami describes about the dynasties of Swayambhu Manu, who had two sons, Uttanapad and Maharaj Priyavrat. And Shukadeva Goswami describes first about Uttanapad. He had two sons, Uttama and Dhruva. And of course he had two wives before that, Suruchi and Suniti, two wonderful wives. Suruchi, very beautiful, very dear to the king. And king would spend most of the time with her, glorify her, and like a henpecked husband, he would be there with her all the time, spending all the time, giving her attention, love, care, fulfilling all her demands. And Suniti, whose son was Dhruva, not so favorite to the king, so neglected by the king in the palace, she's neglected by everyone else. That is the nature when somebody is neglected by the king and the main person. So she's neglected by everyone else. So Suniti, she is there, her son, Dhruv. So once upon a time, Uttanapad was there on the royal throne and he was patting the son of Suruchi, Uttama. His name was Uttam. And Dhruv was just 5 years old boy. He happened to see. And as a natural small child would do, he just approached and climbed up to the lap. He ran to climb up to the lap of Uttanapad. Suruchi, who's there, she's very proud. Naturally, when somebody, you are respected by someone, you are glorified by someone, worshipped, you naturally become proud. So she approaches and she tells Dhruva that you cannot sit on the lap of your father Dhruva, your father Uttanapad, because you are not born from my womb. Small child, can imagine, 5 year child, what he's asking for is just going to his father's lap. For a small child, that's the most dear thing, or the most important shelter which he has, to the lap of the mother, a lap of his father. And that basic shelter, lap, was denied by his stepmother. So that is, and that's what the lap represents to us also, the shelter, the security of this material world. We are also looking after the lap, or we are also wanting to climb the lap of these material securities, the shelters, the wealth, the fame, the knowledge, the strength, the bodily strength. So different securities we are looking forward to, that let me get some more wealth which will give me shelter. Let me get some more prestige. Let me get some more higher post, trying to go up, 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 looking for shelter in these things which are actually temporary and which can be denied or which can be taken away at any moment. Dhruva Maharaj wanted to climb up on the lap of his father, receive the love, the affection, which every child has a natural right. But unfortunately, Suruchi was there to stop him. So similarly, material nature is there, who will stop us, pull us down from our material shelter. As we will see what the real shelter is, which Dhruva Maharaj will exemplify. But first of all, we have to understand that these shelters of this world are very, very temporary. Because the spirit soul is looking for happiness. Spirit soul, being eternal, is looking for eternal, unlimited happiness. And there is no shelter, no ashray of this world which is eternal or which is worth taking shelter of. Because it can cheat us at any moment. That's this world of cheaters and the cheated. One may have various shelters. One may think that my wife will protect me, my husband will protect me, my children will take care of me, my wealth, my bank balance will take me, or anything can happen. But we know that is the nature of this material world. Time factor is so powerful. It can kill, it can take away all these shelters from us at any point of life. We may depend on our intelligence, on our strength, but at the time of death, there is no shelter that can actually protect us or help us. That is the cruelty, or that is the nature of this material world. That's what Krishna says. And even Brahmaji, in his, one of his prayers, beautiful prayers, he says that this nature of this material world is, this is full of misery. Krishna also says in the Gita, and Brahmaji is the secondary creator, he also confirms in his Brahma Vimohan Lila prayers after he offers, that this is the nature of this material. No shelter in this material world is permanent. Recently we were in Gujarat, we were going to different villages on a Padyatra. So the first place where we stopped was Jamnagar. So we were there and we were staying in an old age home. That's where our accommodation was. And it was very sad to see so many old people there and nobody to take care of them and nobody to talk to them. When we were there, they would come to us and talk to us, and somebody would come, they would just catch and talk to that person. And one of the persons, another devotee, was there with me. He would go to him and he was asking, "Aap bata sakte hain main Bombay kab jaunga? When would I go to Bombay?" He's in Chamnagar. He's sitting. "Aap bata sakte?" He said, "I don't know. Main nahi jaunga." He goes to another person, "Main Bombay kab jaunga?" Said, "I don't know. Hame malum nahi. Hum ye sab nahi batate ki aap Bombay kab jayenge, kya hai." Then he sent, somebody sent it to him, to me. I said, "Aap jaldi hi jayenge," because he was so desperate. You could see from his face, there's no one, no shelter, nobody to take care of him, no love he's receiving. He said, I said, "Aap jaldi hi jayenge." Bole, "Jaldi kab? Jald matlab kab?" "Ala jaldi jayenge, in near future you will go." He said, "Do mahine mein jaunga?" I said, "Yes, do mahine mein jayenge." Those words gave him some hope that in 2 months I'll go. So there were many people like that. So that is the nature of this world. People earn, 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 earn this world to make a big house. Of course, it's a big thing to Bombay to get a house. You have to slog, slog, hours, 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 months, 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 days, years. You work hard to get a house. You get a house where you will think you will live happily, and the son grows up and kicks you out. Unfortunate situation. And so that's the unfortunate situation of this. That's the nature of this world. If not this, there is some other problem. So Krishna has given everyone a pinch, different according to one's needs. So for some, this is the problem. For some, somebody has a lot of wealth, but there's no son, no child. Somebody has a lot of children, but no wealth to take care of them. So each one of us can know in our own lives that there are problems, there are difficulties, there are pains which are there. But we are still somehow or other trying to look for shelter. Maybe if I get this, I'll be better off. Maybe after some time, things will improve. And then I will take to devotional service, or then I will take to shelter of Krishna. So then we keep on missing those the real shelter of the Supreme Lord. We keep on hanging on to different other things which are going to be shaken, which are going to be taken from us at any moment. And that is, in one sense, if somebody can understand, that is the mercy of the Supreme Lord, that these shelters are taken away, and then one realizes, oh wow, so I have some shelter which is permanent, which will give me real satisfaction, real happiness, where I can find. Otherwise, the nature of this world is, you just keep mriga trishna, it's like that. You see there is water there, and you run, and then you run, and then you run. But you keep on, end up running, thirsty, deserted in the deserts. The only true insurance is in Krishna's insurance. That is the true. We have LIC, this is Krishna Insurance Company. That is the true and the most reliable investment if we have to do. So those who are investment consultants, you know, this is the best investment to make. This is the permanent, this full 100% returns. That is the nature. So that is what the lap for Dhruva Maharaj was. He was looking for that shelter, children, small children. That's what they need. Play with some toys and have some fun. And when hungry, go to the mother and father. And that is sometimes when devotees were going with Srila Prabhupada in the West, and they saw children's fairyland. They said, Prabhupada, this is children's fairyland. Prabhupada pointed out to the skyscrapers and said, these are adults' fairyland. So this is what it is. The children are playing with toys, but the only difference between the adult toy and the children toy is the cost. The children may play with the small cars and the Leo toys and other toys, and the adults may have their own different cars or buildings or whatever they have. So it's just a matter of, the difference is just the cost of those toys. So similarly, Dhruva Maharaj, that time very happy, he was happy, very happy, prince, definitely well taken care of in all ways. But when he just wanted to go and sit on the lap of his father, he was denied. And Suruchi, she told her, that is the nature of pride, harsh speech, very heavy words she spoke to Dhruva Maharaj. She says, my dear child, you are unaware that you are born not from my womb, but of another woman. Therefore you should know that your attempt is doomed to failure. You are trying to fulfill a desire which is impossible to fulfill. Such harsh words. You can imagine a 5-year child just going to climb his father's lap. And then she says that if you want to sit on your father's lap, you should take birth. You should go and worship Supreme Lord and take birth again from my womb. And then you can sit on the lap of your father. So that is the nature of false pride. When you become proud, when you are, it can happen in spiritual societies also, when you are favored by someone, when you are loved by someone, so much respected by someone, then naturally the tendency may come that, oh, these are inferior. And then naturally you want to criticize them, you want to find faults in them. That is what Suruchi was doing, thinking that Suniti, she is low class, the king doesn't love her, respect her. And then these arrows, like words which were shot from her mouth, which pierced the hearts of Dhruva Maharaj, the little Dhruva. Therefore it is very, very important, we should analyze what we are speaking when we are angry, or how we respond to a situation. These facilities, these preferences, or these positions should not give us that pride that we speak harshly with devotees or with anyone. But that is very, very important. Therefore, it is very, very essential lesson that we should learn, that we should be very, very careful in our speech. The more can be achieved by just keeping silence. That is important. And we should be careful whether what we are talking, is it absolutely essential? Is it necessary what we are talking? Is it going to benefit someone when we are talking to that person? Or do I have the moral right, first place, to speak? So these things we should consider. Is it actually necessary what I'm speaking? Or is it benefiting anyone? Or do we have the moral right to speak these words which I am speaking? So we take many vows in this Kartik month and these other months. So one time we should try this, that whatever I speak, I will analyze before I speak. We should think before we speak. That is it what I am going to speak now? Is it necessary? Is it going to benefit anyone? Is it my right to speak? Am I allowed to speak? Or am I have the position or the authority? Or is it my service to speak? So it will be a great exercise if we can one day just take a vow that every word which I speak will be according to these principles. Then we will see actually in our own lives that how much that propensity to prajalpa, to criticize, to is there in our hearts. That is very, very important. And this is the result of anger, and we will see how Dhruva Maharaj of course takes it such a beautiful way. And on part of Uttanapad, that's unfortunate situation, he didn't respond. He was too much attached to his wife Suruchi, like a henpecked husband. He didn't respond. He could have just said, hey, you can also sit through on the other side. Uttam is sitting on the left. You can sit on the right lap. Just a small thing for him. That's the lessons for the leaders. For each one of us, how we should be very, very careful when we have a responsible position and a leadership position, how we should be careful not to get into this problem of favoritism, somebody is my favorite or somebody. So our decision making should not be influenced by favoritism, that this is my favorite, or I'll give this to him, or I will not give this to him. Or the point is, we should be very, very careful in making decisions and as leaders, as responsibles. And of course, sense control is very, very important for any leader, for that matter. Somebody who himself, the leader, doesn't have sense control, you cannot rely on that personality. We know that famous example comes when Vasudev came, he said, this is my first son, I offer it to you. Kamsa, take it back. I'm very pleased that you fulfilled your promise. But Vasudev knew, we cannot rely on the words of Kamsa. He can take his words anytime back because his senses are not controlled. He is thinking about his own self at all time, at his own benefit. So that is not the mood of a leader should be. They're ready to serve, ready to protect his dependents. Dhruva Maharaj completely dependent on his affection, his love, he's looking for that. And Uttanapad, just by not responding, he completely ignores and rejects the Dhruva Maharaj's proposal. So Dhruva Maharaj, hissing like a snake, he runs to his mother. That's the shelter for a small child. What else he could do? He just quickly ran to his mother in a great angry mood. He's crying, approaches his mother. And Suniti, of course, she came to know from the other palace residents, Dhruva unable to speak. She comes to know about the whole incident, how Dhruva has been treated by his stepmother. Suniti also crying piteously, not able to understand. And so she actually pacifies Dhruva Maharaj, makes him sit on his lap, caresses him, and she told to pacifying Dhruva Maharaj, gave various wonderful instructions. So basically how Suniti saw good in that whole incident and pacified Dhruva Maharaj is a lesson worth hearing and understanding, how we can see every reversal in our life as an opportunity to success, to succeed in our life. So she was seeing good in those instructions which Suruchi gave. She told Dhruva Maharaj that do not get angry upon Suruchi. There's no point in getting angry on Suruchi. What she said is absolutely right. I am not the favorite queen, the king, favorite queen of the king. The king doesn't like me. He doesn't even treat me like his maid servant. So what is the point? So you are not at fault, or neither Suruchi is it at fault. So she saw the good in those whole episodes. It's very difficult at times when difficult situation comes in our lives. That is the great challenge as sadhakas, to see Krishna's hand in every situation. That is what the scriptures teach us. That is what the vision of the Shastra. That is what Shastra Chakshu is. That is what Krishna consciousness is all about. To see Krishna's hand in all our lives, in our life. How every action we can use as a stepping stone to march forward towards Krishna. That is what Krishna's desire is. And that is what how we should see every act in happening in our life as Krishna's hand, unseen hand of Krishna. Then we can actually march forward in every situation. Otherwise, we will keep lamenting and we will just... And here, Suniti, very, very calmly, she's aggrieved, deeply aggrieved. She knows her position. Her son, favorite son, Dhruva, very dear son, is crying. But she is pacified. She is also aggrieved. With the same time, with a cool head, she sits back and responds to Dhruva Maharaj. One time Srila Prabhupada was, I think, some devotee recently was mentioning in his Bhagavatam class, some devotees were in anxiety and then approached Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said, just sit down, relax, chant Hare Krishna, and then respond to it. Just relax, sit down, chant Krishna's name. Let the Lord reveal to you. So that at times when a situation arises, we become like too quick reactive to the situation. Just when the situation comes, somebody says something, we just want to pounce on him or we just want to fight back with him. Here, Suniti, she could have done that. She could have just gone to Suruchi and started shouting, "Baithne koi tha, keval lap mein baithne ke liye to bola." She could have so many things. She could have shouted at Suruchi and done a make a big issue or have a big fight in the palace. But she sat down. She patiently heard all the things which happened from the people in the mahal there. And then she responded. So therefore, seeing good in every situation, seeing Krishna's hand, that is what, when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, that is what we learn to see Krishna's hand in our lives. How Krishna is acting and how we can actually progress at every moment. That is what will differentiate how we, whether we advance, whether we are in Krishna Shakti, under the Krishna Shakti or Maya Shakti. There's only two things. Either we are in Krishna or in Maya. So every moment we have a choice. Now, at this moment, we want to hear katha, we want to sleep, or whatever we want to do. We have a choice. We want to hear attentively, we want to space out, we want to speak, prepare, whatever. Every moment there is a choice for us to advance. And I'm not saying somebody's doing, depends on the speaker. But the point is, every moment there is a choice. Wow. This is the beauty Krishna has given us. Kala, the time. Kala is a very fearful factor. Kala, time kills everyone. Time and tide waits for none. But if we see time in this light, it's the most beautiful thing. Every moment, in one sense, is an opportunity to go closer to Krishna. So if we see time in that form, it's the most beautiful gift of God. So that is the beauty aspect of time. If you see in that light, that every moment I can remember Krishna, I can chant Krishna, I can talk about Krishna, I can serve Krishna, I can go closer to Krishna. So in that sense, Kala is the most beautiful gift of the Supreme Lord. So seeing good in all the situations, that is the nature of a devotee, looking for good. One time Giriraj Maharaj was there when he heard that movie when came Dam Maro Dam, what is that movie? That famous song when came that Dam Maro Dam Hare Krishna Hare Ram. That famous song came. So Giriraj Maharaj was very inquisitive. He thought probably they are saying that by chanting Hare Krishna Hare Ram you will give up Dam Maro Dam. So he went to see the movie. But he saw it was contrary and they were actually in one sense blasphemous to Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada, he went to Prabhupada and he told Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said, actually just wait. After some years, people will forget Dam Maro Dam and remember Hare Krishna Hare Ram. And that is what is happening by the grace of Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki! So that is the power. Seeing good. So Prabhupada could see that actually this Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam, with time, Dam Maro Dam is gone and now Hare Krishna Hare Ram is spreading everywhere by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. So then, Suniti, she is telling Dhruv Maharaj that actually at this stage I cannot also help you because the king doesn't love me and there's nothing much I can do. Therefore, if you at all desire to sit on the same throne as your stepbrother Uttam, give up your envious attitude immediately and try to execute the instructions of your stepmother. Her instruction was, worship the Supreme Lord and then come back. So that was the instruction. That is the nature of the devotee. She picked up the gold from the filth. That is the devotee. So then, Suniti says that simply by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, she gives various examples how Brahmaji, when he, your great-great-grandfather, when he worshipped the Supreme Lord, how he got all the power and the knowledge to create and got all this universe. And Swayambhu Manu, when he worshipped, is your grandfather, when he worshipped the Supreme Lord, how he got all the success in the material world and in his happiness and ultimately liberation. Of course, before we go further, I'll just tell that who is like Swayambhu Manu, he's the ruling all of the universe. So that is his kingdom. And Brahmaji, he's the creator of the entire cosmos. So these are the people we are talking about. And his great-great-grandson is Dhruv Maharaj. So that's what he's been aggrieved because Suruchi said, you cannot sit on the lap, nor you can sit on the throne. So this throne which we are talking about is not an ordinary throne of some state or a king. They are talking about the whole universe. So that is what Dhruv Maharaj is aggrieved of. And then she says that even Lakshmiji's are worshipping Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of God. So if you want Lakshmi, if you want power like Brahmaji or material sex like some Swayambhu Manu, whatever you desire, you go and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because there's no one else, no demigod can supply. Because Brahmaji is the highest. He has all the cosmic universe. So she says, go to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and worship him. That is a beautiful verse. She glorifies. And even if you want Lakshmi or wealth, so this is one of the main lessons, underlying lessons which we learn from this one beautiful episode of Sri Dhruv Maharaj is that whatever aspiration one may have, whatever material desire one may have, it's always beneficial to go and serve and approach the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. There is no reservation that I have material desires. No, I cannot go. I have this desire. I cannot go and approach the Supreme Lord. Of course, that is not the highest, but there's not. But it's always safe and always the best thing to do is to approach the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, Sri Hari. For even all the material desires, material wealth, material prosperity, whatever we want, the best thing is to approach Sri Hari, Sri Krishna. They purify, the Lord purifies of us of material desires, and if it is beneficial for us, the Lord will provide, as in the case of Sri Dhruv Maharaj. And nobody can say that I have so many material desires. How can I go approach Lord Vishnu, Sri Hari? Dhruv Maharaj, he had, what was his desire? To have a kingdom greater than his great-grandfather, Sri Brahmaji. So anyone can, does anyone in this room have a material desire to have wealth more than this? No, nobody can have. So this is the highest. The Bhagavatam gives the extreme example. So even if you have that extent of material desire, that you want a kingdom bigger than this entire universe, then also worship Krishna. That is what Dhruv Maharaj's episode is teaching us. That whatever akama, sarvakama, mokshakama, whatever desires we have, we should just repose our love, our affection, our desire to serve, worship, glorify to the Supreme Lord. And we will achieve the highest benedictions as we see in here. That is the love of the Supreme Lord. You know, that's a famous story. When Krishna was there in his childhood in Brajabhumi, he was performing his wonderful leelas. So one time, a fruit vendor lady comes, pal lelo pal. She's calling out, pal lelo pal. So everyone, as was the system that time, barter system, you give something. And then Krishna heard that somebody's come to asking for fruits, and Yashodamma is somewhere else. So Krishna comes, goes to the house, inside the house, and takes some grains in his hand, and he's running with those beautiful Krishna, the small Gopal form. He's running with the grains. Shukadeva Goswami, of course, beautifully describes that one who is Sarva Phala Prada, he's referring to Krishna as Sarva Phala Prada, who is giving fruits to all the living entities for their karma, that Krishna, who is Sarva Phala Prada, he is going to get fruits. It was not that Krishna wanted those fruits. Krishna was enchanted by the love of that fruit-vending lady. So Krishna goes, Achyuta, Shukadeva Goswami, another beautiful usage, she says. Krishna, Shukadeva Goswami says, Achyuta is running and the grains are falling. Chyuta, they are falling from his hands. And he's running, comes. And very few grains are there in his hands when he reaches there. And that fruit vendor lady, when she saw Krishna's beautiful form, she's charmed, completely enamored by the beautiful Gopal form. She had heard about Krishna, she had seen, but when she saw Krishna with those beautiful little soft palms holding a few grains, probably were there to give, she accepted those grains which Krishna gave it to her. And she gave all the best fruits which she had in the hands of the Supreme Lord. And when Krishna comes back, she's looking at Krishna, and then she lifts her basket and goes back to her house to bring more fruits for Krishna. She was not satisfied. She wanted to serve more. She wanted to give more. That is the nature of love. You want to serve more. There's no meaning to love without service. We talk about love in this world, but that is just to gratify one's own senses. But real love means service. There's no question to the word love without service. Love means to serve the object of your love. That is what real love is. So that lady, she brings more fruit, but she doesn't realize that her basket is more heavy. Krishna had filled her basket with more jewels and diamonds and rubies. The most precious jewels were there in her basket. But in her anxiety to serve Krishna more, she did not realize that her basket is so heavy. She is filled with those. So that is Krishna. There's no loss in serving Krishna in any way. Krishna is showing through his wonderful leela. She goes home. She just throws the jewels there on the floor. Fills with more fruits and comes back. That is the nature of someone who is maddened by Krishna's love. The wealth of this world doesn't count. She just runs back to give those fruits. Otherwise, somebody is like enamored by so many jewels. And I mean, she was very poor, definitely. Just a fruit vending lady. So these jewels could just blind her. But she was absolutely untouched. She just threw those jewels on the floor, put more fruits, and come back to give Krishna those fruits. Amazing. And she comes back, and she brings more fruits to Krishna. Krishna takes in his hand more fruits. And then she goes back. So what was the real gift which Krishna gave her? Was his desire to serve, his loving reciprocation which Krishna gave her. That was her real gift which Krishna gave. Of course, Krishna gave her the jewels, but that was the real gift which Krishna gave. That is, so in that sense, there's no loss in serving Krishna. And when Yashoda Mai heard that Krishna had done this, so she was chastising Krishna, hey, you don't know, somebody can cheat you, why you don't go alone and do this, you're very young. And then Yashoda Mai, Krishna gives all those fruits to Yashoda Mai, and she is distributing, she takes in her pallu inside, she's distributing those fruits. And all the neighboring ladies, everyone come, and then she is distributing. It's not getting over. That is the love of that cowherd, that lady who had come to sell fruits. That unlimited fruits were coming out. As many people would come, many people, another lady from the neighboring ladies, they would come, and Krishna was giving them fruits. Yashoda Mai was giving fruits. Krishna wanted to glorify that fruit vendor, her love. So that is what Krishna's reciprocation is. There is no loss in this endeavor, which Krishna says in the Gita. So, therefore, Suniti is telling Dhruva Maharaj, even if you want wealth, even if you want the highest kingdom, the power, the knowledge, everything, you can worship Lord Vishnu Narayan. People in this world want Lakshmi. Everyone is running after Lakshmi. Lakshmi, 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 Lakshmi. I want Lakshmi Puja, Mahalakshmi Puja. But we were in the villages And we were walking one of the villages. One simple person was there. He was staying. So he just offered us nice hospitality. We were just begging. He offered nice hospitality. We just asked, do you need some Lakshmi? So he said, you're all worshipping Narayan. So by serving those who are worshipping Narayan, Lakshmi will come. And actually, Lakshmi Devi is personally serving Sri Narayan. So therefore, by worshipping Narayan, Lakshmi also comes. And he was telling me, he just said, if you call a lady, married lady with her name and call her, please come. Will she come? No. She will come with her husband. Of course, in Kali Yuga it may happen. But the Vedic time, he was from a very small town and village. He was from a very small town and village where the culture was still there. It was good to see so much wonderful culture still present in the villages. So she said, अगर आप किसी स्त्री को पर स्त्री को बुलाएंगे नाम लेके तो कभी आएगी क्या? नहीं आएगी. जब उसके पति को बुलाएंगे तो उसके साथ वो आएगी. That was the Vedic culture. So that similarly, if you want Lakshmi also, Narayan, when you worship Narayan, Lakshmi will automatically come. You can't call Lakshmi, Lakshmi, she won't come. That is what she is saying. If you want wealth, if you want position, if you want power, if you want fame, everyone is running after fame. Pratishtha Nari. Sada Kavari is running. Everyone is running after Pratishtha. Pratishtha, everyone is running Pratishtha. But Krishna, we will see here in this beautiful episode how Dhruv Maharaj became so famous just by worshipping the Supreme Lord. He is a planet by his name, Dhruv Tara, the pole star. Nobody can become famous, more famous. So that is what Suniti is telling through these wonderful examples that Brahmaji worshipped, Swayambhu Manu worshipped, Lakshmiji is for liberation, and all the great sages, those who are mumukshumis, those who are after liberation, they are also worshipping Sri Vishnu. So if you want any of these or something even beyond this, you can worship Sri Vishnu, Sri Hari, and Krishna will take care of everything. So in this way, she is saying the wonderful purport, Srila Prabhupada, right? Prabhupada is writing that in this connection, Queen Suniti advises her son that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Vritya Vatsala, which indicates that he is very kind to his devotees. She said, you came to me crying, having been insulted by your stepmother, but I am unable to do any good for you. But Krishna is so kind to his devotees that if you go to him, then the combined kindness of millions of mothers like me will be surpassed by his affectionate and tender dealings. Beautiful purport, Srila Prabhupada, paraphrasing Suniti, she is saying, Prabhupada is saying, or Suniti is saying, that I am unable to do any good for you, but Krishna is so kind to his devotees that if you go to him, then the combined kindness of millions of mothers like me will be surpassed by his affectionate and tender dealings. So all the mothers can appreciate more that how much they have love for their children, especially when they are small, they are completely dependent. And Suniti is saying that the combined kindness of millions of mothers will be surpassed by his affectionate and tender dealings. That is the love of the Supreme Lord for each one of us. That is what Krishna's affection, love is. Therefore, with this confidence, she's saying, when everyone else fails to mitigate one's misery, Krishna is able to help the devotees. That is the beautiful instructions of Sri Suniti. Queen Suniti is also stressed that the process of approaching the Supreme Lord is not, of course, then with that faith on Krishna's kindness, on Krishna's love. She tells her 5-year-old son to go to the forest and worship Supreme Lord. The mothers can understand, 5-year son, tender, sending him alone to the forest. It is not an easy for a mother's heart to accept that. It's not easy. But she had that faith and conviction. She was like her path pradarsha guru, guiding him. You go, giving him that faith that Krishna will protect you. Go to the forest, as all the sages had done. It's not easy, 5-year-old boy going to the forest, especially for a mother to send. where all the animals and bushes and so many wild things, what will he eat, what will he drink, where will he stay, will there be a house he's staying? He used to stay in the comforts of a palace. So you can imagine the conviction of Suniti's mind and the strength which she has. She's sending his son to the forest, ready to say. That is the faith of Suniti, which she is imparting to Dhruva Maharaj. That is what the Patapadasha Guru, he does. He arouses that Adoshrada, the initial faith in us to take to this process of bhakti, the path. She guides, okay, go ahead and do this, perform this process. So that is what the beauty of Suniti Devi's instructions is. And Narada Muni also accepts Suniti with complete faith, her mother's words, with great faith and with great intelligence and determination. That is the most beautiful quality which Dhruva Maharaj exhibited. He left his father's house. It was difficult for him. He is used to the staying in the comforts of a most opulent house, a palace of the king of the universe. He is going there. And as soon as he enters the forest, he meets Sripad Narada Muni. Interesting, Srila Prabhupada explains, it was the divine arrangement, Krishna's arrangement. It was not an arranged meeting that Suniti sent a cell phone or mail that my son is coming, please guide him, please take care of him, or Dhruva Maharaj did something, told someone or something. Krishna's arrangement, when Krishna sees the sincerity of the person on the path of bhakti, he sends the guru. Guru Prasade, what is that? Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. So Narada Muni came. That is the glory of Sripad. Narada Muni is a transcendental spaceman moving around by the will of the Supreme Lord. In many of the pastimes you will see in Srimad Bhagavatam, he is going to the snakes, he has various varieties of to the Nalakuver and Manigreve, Yadar Ichaya, by his own desire. His desire is the same as the desire of the Supreme Lord. That is with this desire, by the desire of the Supreme Lord, he is there. He comes to Sripad. Sri Dhruva Maharaj, he comes there. And so Narada Muni also he has different techniques. His preaching techniques are very unique and very, very apt to the situation, to the type of audience he has. For some, he will straight say, do this, do that. Or some he will tell an allegorical story. Or for some, he will do some enact something. Or some arrange some, like a preacher, very, very intelligent because of Krishna's supreme direction coming from within. He comes there, he sees Narada Muni, sees Dhruva Maharaj. He wants to test first Dhruva Maharaj. That's the duty of the spiritual master, to test. Is he ready to take my instructions? So the spiritual master has a right to test the disciple, and the disciple also has a right to test before accepting a spiritual master. Is this person actually representing Krishna, the parampara? And the spiritual master also has the right to test before giving initiation. So Narada Muni here is offering his tests. So Narada Muni is telling, what is the problem? You are just a 5-year-old boy. You are a small child. This is your age to play and games and just be in the comforts of your father's palace. What if he didn't make you sit on your lap? You can just play around otherwise, be with your mother, you're getting nice food, everything is there. When you grow old, you can see. And in this, what is this insult and these small things? Does small children take some insult? Chote bache ko kabhi maro aur baad mein chocolate do, bhag kya aa jayega? So you're like a small child, somebody says, and your mother will pat you, give you something to eat. Just forget it, just be like a normal small child. This a small childish thing. Dhruva Maharaj is not convinced. He's saying, no, how can I? So Narada Muni is trying another tactic. If you think you are very old or advanced, or if you are very knowledgeable, so all this, try to understand, is happening by your own karma. Probably you insulted someone in your past life, and now you are getting the insult. So understand. So he's trying to console him mentally that just you sowed the karma and you are now reaping it. So just accept it and tolerate it. Why do you have to make a fuss? You just come out of the forest and doing this. So just accept this as laws of karma. Any act you do, you reap, and if you, it's natural. So it is your actions your karma which you did, now you're reaping that. So what is so difficult thing? You inserted in the last, now you're getting that. So just accept it, tolerate it, and go back and engage in your childish activity. So that is the law of karma. That's Narad Muni. What Narad Muni is saying, actually the fact, but Dhruva Maharaj is not satisfied. The law of karma is like that. Whatever acts we do now, we are going to reap. Whatever acts we did in the past, we are reaping now. That is the law of nature. That is the law of destiny. We cannot expect different situations. We cannot blame God for what we are receiving now. We cannot say, why I am put in a particular situation at this point of time? Because we did the karma. We can't climb a neem tree and expect a mango to be there. No, we'll get neem. If you have sowed those karmas like that, we will get. You sow a neem tree, you get neem. You sow a mango tree, you get a mango. So that is natural. So these karma follow us behind. One place, I think Srila Prabhupada gives that example. You have a herd of cows are there and calves are there. So you release a calf. And the calf will find his mother and drink the milk from her. So similarly, the karmas are there. They will follow us. We can try escaping, but we cannot escape. Whatever actions we have done, we'll have to reap those reactions. Whatever arrangement, somebody is destined to die, somebody is destined to get sick, we'll get sick. So that is what Narad Muni is telling. So it's the Lord's perfect plan, try to understand. This is the Lord's plan. So just be satisfied and whatever happens, happens for the good. So understand, take it in that light. And that's the fact also. Whatever happens in our life happens by the will of the Lord, and it is for our good. Krishna is the most kind, as we read in the previous verse. The combined kindness of millions of mothers is not sufficient to describe Krishna's kindness. So in that sense, if we see, whatever happens in our life is the kindness of the Supreme Lord. Depends on how we actually take it and accept it. That is what, of course, that is difficult. But as practicing sadhakas, we have to see in that light. But Dhruva Maharaj is still determined and he is sincere. And so he's saying, Narad Muni is giving different arguments, but Dhruva Maharaj is not convinced. So then Dhruva Maharaj says that whatever Narad Muni are saying is absolutely perfect. Narad Muni is saying, my dear Naradji, for a person whose heart is disturbed by material conditions of happiness and distress, whatever you have so kindly explained for attainment of peace of mind is certainly a very good instruction. But as far as I am concerned, I am covered by ignorance, and this kind of philosophy does not touch my heart. I am very sorry for being impudent and not accepting your instruction, but this is what to do. I have that Kshatriya blood in me, and my mother Suruchi had pierced me with her words, and I cannot tolerate. And I want a position more exalted than yet achieved with anyone in these three worlds. I have that desire. If you kindly oblige, please advise me a path which I can achieve the goal of my life. This is what my goal is. So this is what Dhruva Maharaj had come with. So then Dhruva Maharaj's determination. Of course, Srila Prabhupada explains that Dhruva Maharaj's honesty and determination were two of the most wonderful qualities which we see here. It's not that he said, yes, 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 I will do, but not able to do or doesn't do anything. Sometimes this may happen out of our false humility. One may come to that stand or stance when some guru or some instructing spiritual masters instruct us. We may say, yes, yes, I will do. But then we do not absolutely neglect the order. There's no sincere try is given. But here Dhruva Maharaj is saying, no. At this stage, this is not what I can practice. I need the solution for my problem. He honestly approaches Sripad Narada Muni and says, he expresses what his condition at that stage is. I am a Kshatriya. I need to take revenge. I need this at this point of time. And so then, of course, Narada Muni understands, and that Dhruv Maharaj is very, very determined, he's honest, he's very, very sincere. So then, Narada Muni actually reveals or guides him the true path of bhakti to Shripad Dhruv Maharaj. It's beautiful verses where Sri Narada Muni tells Dhruv Maharaj. He tells that whatever instruction your mother Suniti and Suruchi told you to worship are most apt. You should therefore completely absorb yourself in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord. And how to do that in a most beautiful way, Sri Dhruv Maharaj, Sri Narada Muni recommends the path. Like we have the Vedic literature, Sambandha, Abhidhaya and Prayojan. Similarly, to establish the Sambandha with the Supreme Lord, to worship the Supreme Lord, Srila Narada Muni beautifully describes the beauty of the Supreme Lord in various beautiful verses. We'll cite one of the verses where Sri Narada Muni is glorifying the beauty of the Supreme Lord. Of course, he gives him the instruction later on that you go to the bank of Sri Yamunaji in Madhuvan and perform meditation on the beautiful form of the Lord. And then he describes the beautiful form to establish the Sambandha when he sees, when he describes the beautiful form or beauty of the Supreme Lord to attract Dhruv Maharaj's heart. The beautiful verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam describes Prasadabhimukham Shashvat Prasannavadanekshanam Sunasam Subruham Charu Kapolam Surasundaram. The Lord's face is perpetually very beautiful and pleasing in attitude. To the devotees who see him, he appears never to be displeased. He is always prepared to award benedictions to them. His eyes, his nicely decorated eyebrows, his raised nose, his broad forehead are all very beautiful. He is more beautiful than all the demigods. So that is the beauty of the Supreme Lord, unparalleled beauty. And another beautiful verse. Tarunam ramaniyangam aruno oshtu krishandharam pranat ashrayam nirunam sharanyam karunarnamam. Beautiful verse, he says. Narada Muni says, the Lord's form is always youthful. Every limb and every part of his body is properly formed, free from defect. His eyes and lips are like pinkish, like the rising sun. He is always prepared to give shelter to the surrendered soul. Pranat ashrayam. And anyone so fortunate as to look upon him feels all satisfaction. Sharanyam. The Lord is always worthy to be the master of the surrendered soul. For he is the ocean of mercy. That is the nature of the Supreme Lord. He is the ocean of mercy. Karuna Sagar, Karuna Sindhu. Therefore he is worth taking shelter of. Krishna, the Supreme Lord, Sri Hari, is worth taking shelter of. In this way, beautiful verses, Srila Narada Muni describes the beautiful form of Sri Hari, Sri Vishnu. And we see in the Vedic literatures the beautiful form of the Supreme Lord is described in so many beautiful ways. When the Supreme Lord appears in this world, he comes in most beautiful forms as Krishna, as Sri Ram, as Varaha, as Narsingha, the most beautiful forms he comes. We see the creation, we can imagine, when we see the creation, such beautiful creation, you go to these wonderful hill stations, Lonavala, Kandala, you see the natural beauty, such beautiful sceneries, and you're to the Himalayas, such beautiful scenes, you simply see a beautiful rose flower, such nice, beautiful, wonderful flowers. So what to talk about the creator, what creator of these wonderful things. We are enamored by the beautiful natural beauty of this world. But if we think about it, about the creator, how much more beautiful he must be. So that is what that should captivate our heart. So Narada Muni is telling this to captivate the heart of Sri Dhruv Maharaj. That see, this is the beautiful form which you should meditate upon, the most beautiful form, which is worth taking off shelter. That is the nature of the Lord. Sharanyam Karunarnavam. That is Sharanyam, the person unto whom it is just worthy to surrender. He is worth surrendering. That is the nature of the Lord. As Lord Ram also says, that even if somebody once says, that, oh my Lord, I am yours, I accept that person. That is the nature of the Supreme Lord. One time after Vibhishan had surrendered, and they coronated Vibhishan as the king of Ravana. Somebody asked. Hanumanji or someone asked. So now you said if anyone comes, you will give shelter and you will give. So even if Ravana comes at this time, what will you do? Because you have already coronated Vibhishan as the king. If he comes, Sharanagat, if he takes shelter of you, he said, I will give him the shelter, give him the throne of Ayodhya. And if, so then what about Bharat? He's ruling. I'll make him the king of Vaikuntha. So that is the nature of the Supreme Lord. He's worth taking shelter of Karunya Ranavam, worth taking shelter of, who is just worthy to surrender. So even if somebody just once says with his feelingly, oh Lord, I am yours, I want to surrender, then Krishna will open. That is Krishna's nature. We take one step, he walks hundreds, thousands of steps, and his steps are very large. Like Vamandev, so his huge steps, in one step he can cover. So he walks very big steps. Krishna's steps are very powerful. So we just have to show one step, and then Krishna will unfold, send the guru, send the devotees, send the scriptures. Krishna can come. Krishna comes in various ways, through prasad, through different Srila Prabhupada's book. He has his own network. Krishna's networks are very powerful. He will come. We just express our desire, and then Krishna sends his instruments. That is what she is, Narada Muni is describing, the beautiful Srivats Angam Ghanashyamam Purusham Manmalim Shankha Chakra Gada Padmair Abhivyakta Chaturbhujam. These beautiful descriptions of the form, how he is wearing beautiful. So in this way, glorifies the Krishna's beautiful form. And then, of course, Narada Muni gives the process that now I'm going to tell you a mantra which you should constantly, which is to be chanted with the process of meditation. One who carefully chants this mantra for 7 nights can see the perfect human beings flying in the sky. So everyone wants to know that secret mantra, but it has to be followed with meditation. They can see, for 7 nights, you can see the perfect human beings flying in the sky. So everyone ready for that secret mantra? Of course, there's nothing secret. Srimad Bhagavatam is open. Of course, Narada Muni says, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We all chanted in the beginning. So that is the mantra Narada Muni gives to Dhruva Maharaj, that you chant this mantra along with your meditational process, make a beautiful form of the deity, and worship the Supreme Lord Sri Hari with this. You chant this mantra, worship the Lord in the temple. Of course, Narada Muni was in the Madhuvan, so ask him to make a beautiful form with mud, clay, and Sri Yamuna Jal, and worship the beautiful form, Salile Shuchibhiru Malyar, with clarified water, with purified Tulsi and Mala, and you should worship the Supreme Lord and perform this worship. And Prabhupada explains, and he says, Desha Kala Vibhagavit. Narada Muni says that you should worship according to the time, place, and circumstances, because you're in the forest, you may not be able to worship very opulently or gorgeously. So Prabhupada very beautifully comments that one should be very careful and see how we can actually, Desha Kala Vibhagavit, we should perform the worship of the deities. Whatever is available in a particular place, in a particular circumstances, one should offer the best which is offered to the Supreme Lord. Many times, some of the smarta brahmanas or those people, they would criticize Srila Prabhupada for installing deities in the West where there are no purified water, as Narada Muni is saying, Salilam Jalam, that clean, purified water. There's no Yamuna Jal or Ganga Jal in America or in London or in... No, purified water is not available there. But here, Srila Prabhupada is picking up on that Narada Muni is saying, as per Desha Kala Vibhagavit, you should worship the form of the Supreme Lord in a most beautiful way. And one thing Srila Prabhupada, very beautiful Prabhupada, writes that when we went to Prabhupada, went to the West, he said, we did not find any Tulsi plant there. So because Krishna, Narada Muni says, you worship with Tulsi and flowers and roots and leaves, but there was no Tulsi, Prabhupada said, we felt very sad. And then Prabhupada in the purport, yes, he writes that, we are very much obliged therefore to our disciple Srimati Govinda Dasi, because she has taken much care to grow Tulsi plants from seeds, and she has been successful by the grace of Krishna. Now Tulsi plants are growing in almost every center of our movement. Especially Prabhupada's grace, you could see, Tulsi Maharani also went all over the world. Wherever Lord Vishnu is there, Tulsi Maharani goes. So there, by Prabhupada's grace, Govindadasi, she planted tulsi leaves. Now we have so many centers all over the ISKCON where flourishing Tulsi Maharani is being worshipped and Krishna is being worshipped by those. So that is Desha Kala Vibhag with as per time, place and circumstances. Srila Prabhupada was a mastermind, a genius, following the footsteps of Shripad Narad Muni. The first deities which were installed, Jagannath, Baldev, Subhadra, the west somewhere where they were installed, Prabhupada said, everyone just come forward, offer a candle light. That's what the deity installation program. Now we have, like in some devotees' houses, they have like Shayan Adivas, one full day Abhishek, and so many elaborate arrangements. But at that time, Srila Prabhupada said, just offer a candle. That was Srila Prabhupada's compassion, mercy. He established the deities all over the world. And the next day there, they took Jagannath Baldev Subhadra to a walk on the beach. And Prabhupada had to correct them, chastise them. No, you can't do this. We'll have a Rath Yatra. So then Prabhupada started Rath Yatra all over the world. So that is Srila Prabhupada, Desha Kala Vibhagavit, as a great acharya following in the footsteps of Sripad Narada Muni. He established the worship of the deity worship as recommended by Srila Narada Muni. And so, coming forward, Dhruva Maharaj, following the instructions of Srila Narada Muni, performs his great tapasya, austerities, chanting this mantra, worshipping the deities. And Shukadeva Goswami describes about the austerities which Dhruva Maharaj did. First month, eating only fruits that were available in the forest once in 3 days. The second month, leaves that fell on the ground once in 6 days. Third month, drinking some water once in 9 days. Fourth month, breathing air once in 12 days. And the fifth month, he stopped breathing also. He perfected his pranayama and stopped breathing also. So that is Dhruva Maharaj's tapasya. Of course, Prabhupada writes, we cannot follow these austerities which Dhruva Maharaj. For us, following the four regulative principles, chanting 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra attentively is the austerity which is recommended by the acharyas. That is what Srila Prabhupada is saying. So in this way, at the end of his austerities, meditation, Lord Vishnu, of course, all the demigods, they were disturbed because of the heat and because of the weight, and stopped air movement, stopped because of the no breathing of Dhruva Maharaj. Such powerful influence he has, all the demigods went to Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu pacifies them. I will come and tell Dhruva Maharaj to stop. And the Lord personally comes in front of Shri Dhruva Maharaj in a most beautiful form as described by Sripad Narada Muni. His meditation broke and he could see. When he opened his eyes, he saw Lord Vishnu personally in the form of Prishni Garb right in front of him. He was in ecstasy, tears flowing from his eyes, trembling, hairs standing in end, not able to speak anything. He's quite there standing. Lord Vishnu personally puts his conch in his head, and then he could speak, offer the most beautiful prayers to the Supreme Lord. So this is the most wonderful mercy which Srila Dhruva Maharaj received by the grace of Srila Narada Muni. Prabhupada wonderfully explains that Dhruva Maharaj's success was not because of the austerities which he performed, but because he followed the instructions of his spiritual master very seriously, without any duplicity. So that's the most important lesson. Without any duplicity, with great sincerity, following the instructions of the spiritual master, Dhruva Maharaj could achieve the highest blessings of the Supreme Lord by the grace of Sri Narada Muni. And then he offered most wonderful prayers, and then the Supreme Lord benedicts him with a planet much bigger than this entire universe, the Dhruva planet, the Dhruva Tara, which we see, the polestar, which does not, is, and when the dissolution happened, that doesn't dissolve, and that is their eternal present. And then after that, the Supreme Lord guaranteed him the abode of his, the eternal residence in the spiritual world. So that was the mercy which Sri Dhruva Maharaj, he perfected his life in just one lifetime. And Prabhupada writes in the purports that it is possible, by the life of Dhruva Maharaj, we can see that it is possible to achieve perfection in one lifetime just by being sincere and determined. Like Dhruva Maharaj, one can perfect Krishna consciousness in one lifetime and can go back home, back to Godhead. So that is the wonderful pastime of Sri Dhruv Maharaj. And that is what we can learn from this wonderful pastime, that by being determined and honest and without duplicity, following the instructions of the spiritual master, we can please the spiritual master and by his grace achieve the darshan of the Supreme Lord Sri Hari and achieve the ultimate destination of going back home, back to Godhead. So with this, I would like to end today's lecture and thank all the devotees for their patient hearing. So now we will have the Harinam Sankirtan, the austerity or the pleasurable austerity which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us in this age, just chanting the names of God, the Sankirtan, the path of chanting the names of God together. That is the Sankirtan movement which Mahaprabhu gives. So this is the prescribed process for this age. So we will, with a grateful heart, participate in the Kirtan now, followed by Krishna's Prasadam. Hare Krishna. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki, Shri Dhruv Maharaj ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna.